Let's pray together. Lord, we thank you. We thank you so much for the opportunity that we had to shine last night, to be salt and light, and just serve people in your name. We thank you for new relationships that are being made through our ministries that you've called us to. Lord, we thank you that you are a God who invites us and calls us to be involved in your mission. Well, you could do it on your own, but Lord, what a privilege we have to be involved. So Lord, I pray now as we lift up your name, as we worship you, that you would be glorified, that the songs we sing would remind us who you are and who we are in you. And Lord, as we look to your word today and consider the challenge of when it says in Thessalonians, always be joyful, never stop praying, be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. All circumstances. Lord, I pray that you'd help us figure that out some today. In Jesus' name. So we're talking about being thankful. Wow, isn't that revolutionary? There are certain times a year where you have to preach certain messages, and this is one of those times a year where we get to focus on being thankful, being grateful. And the result of that is we're blessed, happy. Happy are those, or we have a different mindset because we're thankful, we're grateful. But I think each of us has had those days when everything goes wrong from the very start. I recently groggily got out of bed, 5:15, let my dog out to do her stuff, went over to my coffee maker, got everything, put the cup in, started it, you know, I've got a new Ninja. Woo! Ninja coffee maker, and it's like, okay, so I push the button that says 14 ounces, boom, fill up that thing. And I go back to wait for my dog, and I'm waiting there, and I'm hearing this noise that you guys who have done this know what I'm talking about. I didn't put a cup underneath the coffee maker, and so now I've got my dog outside barking at 5:15 in the morning, which is not really loving your neighbors. And I've got a mess happening over there, so I'm like, dog or mess, which one do I choose? I finally get my dog, and she comes in, and I run over and put a cup under for the last 2 ounces, and then have this giant mess to clean up. Sometimes we look and we go, oh, it's going to be one of those days, right? It's going to be one of those days. We write off the whole day before it has even begun because something challenging happens right away. For me, my mindset, finding things to be thankful for, finding the good, really helped me change my mindset. It impacts the entire day ahead. Sometimes I have to pause and remind myself. Today it's called being mindful. You know, it's been called many things. I'm pretty sure that everybody who does this stuff, it's just renamed stuff. It's like being a teacher. You always have to buy a new curriculum, like math has, you know, or history has changed, or this and that, because we're always writing new stuff and naming new stuff, because we've got to sell more books and do all that. So anyway, I might have to have a reminder during the day, be mindful, pause, breathe, remember, am I finding the good? So this morning we're going to look at some of the verses in Scripture. We're going to talk about being thankful, and I don't know if you guys have this type of thing happen in your household.
What does it have to do with Thanksgiving?
And why do we have to smack it with a hammer?
It's called the peppermint pig. It's a Victorian era tradition.
Someone's been watching too much PBS.
I like the tradition of pie.
Mm-mm. This feels lame.
Sorry, sis. Now that I'm on the carnivore diet, I cannot eat a pig made of candy.
Oh, so you'd rather have a real one?
Oh, I'd rather eat a real one right now.
Guys, stop. Your mom's getting that look in her eyes.
Huh? Yeah, come on, guys. Let her have her perfect Pinterest moment.
Is it so bad Then I want Thanksgiving to actually mean something this year?
Yes. No, no.
So again, how it works is everyone goes around and takes a turn hitting, tapping, pig with the hammer. And everyone says something they're thankful for. And when we're all done, we dump it out and eat the candy. Okay?
Candy? Looks more like a bar of soap.
Like you know what soap looks like.
I saw him wash his hands last week.
Just let the figure say something.
Okay. I am thankful that Jerry finally dressed appropriately for a family get-together.
I did go through a tank top era.
Yeah, no one wants to see your shoulder hair, Uncle Jer.
But welcome to my Crocs era.
Feet off the table.
You don't have eras, you're not Taylor.
So cool.
I am thankful for Crocs.
Okay.
I'm thankful Mom didn't burn the rolls this year.
And I would love to eat all of those rolls, but again, carnivore diet.
I'm thankful because after this pig thing is over, I can go beast mode on this pie.
Pass.
Wait, we can pass? That's a rule.
Wait, am I losing? What?
Okay, see, this is why I do not come to your family game nights.
Okay, well, I'm thankful for a family who's willing to do this all over again.
Oh.
And really consider their blessings. All the blessings our great God has given us.
Guys, I'm thankful that God blessed me with a wife who makes family moments special.
I'm grateful God gave me some good friends on my basketball team.
I'm thankful for vegan butter and the mashed potatoes this year because, guys, this is not a phase.
Wait. Seriously, that was vegan butter?
Oops.
Okay, now the reason I'm thankful for pie is because it reminds me of Grandma. I really miss her, but I'm thankful she was my grandma.
Well, with that being said, it's been quite a year. You all know about my health, my job, my... Well, you all know. Thank you for your prayers. I'm grateful for my family. Very grateful to God.
Give thanks to the Lord, for he is good.
His love endures forever. Okay, who's ready to eat?
Let's talk about the vegan butter.
Oh, we need to get over the vegan butter.
That's going to go right through.
And this is fine.
It's going to go right through.
All of it.
It's
all going to be cholesterol for our fries.
I think we should just
run
this on the
way.
So do you guys do any of those things in your house? Do you, like, the thankful all around? And, you know, sometimes ours have been just like that. And as a matter of fact, we've saved this. My wife saved this because 1 year, it was back in 2001, my mother gave us this thankful list of the things that we would read that we're thankful for. She was assigning us things that we were thankful for. Because she was tired of all that stuff. She was like, this year, darn it, it's gonna work. I gotta read you a few of them. My assignment, it says Scott right here, and she says, I am thankful for the wife who says it's hot dogs tonight because she is home with me, not with someone else. Were you talking to my mother about something? Let's see. My sister Gail had to read for the taxes that I pay because it means I'm employed. There you go. we go down. It's let's see. I like some of these down. My niece Stephanie, which my mother always spelled either Stephine, or we never knew what spelling would come on Stephanie's gift. This time, this part is S-T-E-P-H-I-A-N-E. And so Stephanie knew that was her. For all the complaining I hear about the government, because it means that we have freedom of speech. There you go. Find the silver lining. Robbins was, I'm thankful for my huge heating bill because it means I am warm. Here's one. Anybody who's sitting behind or sitting in front of us? For the lady behind me in church that sings off key because it means I can hear. It's good. It's possible to find that silver lining in everything. And I like when it got down to my kids. My youngest son, Jake, she added these in her handwriting. For the shows I cannot watch on TV, because it means I do have a TV. I'm thankful that I can't watch that. The Josh, I am schooled at home. I'm thankful I'm schooled at home because it means I have a choice to choose. Choice to choose. And Shara got this one. I'm thankful for being a girl. It means I live in America and have the freedom of learning. Thankful I am a girl, because it means I live in America. So Mom would just kind of get finally frustrated and be like, okay, here it is. We're doing this, darn it, and everybody's going to say something they're thankful for. And because you boneheads always mess this up on me, I'm giving you a script this year. And we still joke about it at times in our house. It's a great memory, and we'll say to Jake, you know, or Jake will say, I'm just glad I can't watch shows on TV because it means I have a TV. I'm just thankful for that. I'm like, okay. So this morning, we're going to look at being thankful and how are we thankful? How can we be thankful? What do we need to do when things in life turn around and are so crazy that it's difficult to be thankful? So we're going to dive into some of these verses, but this first one, looking at 1 Thessalonians 5, 16 through 18, rejoice, always be joyful, never stop praying. Be thankful in all circumstances, for this is God's will. A lot of times Christians come to me and say, I want to know what God's will is. You know, there are a bunch of verses in Scripture that say, specifically, this is God's will. And we don't seem to want those. But this is God's will for you who belong to Christ Jesus. Basically, it's saying that gratitude is not just for the good times. Gratitude in the good times is easy. It's about finding the silver lining when life throws curveballs at us. Finding that silver lining. You remember Job? Remember Job went through the ringer. Boy, God let Satan put Job through the test, through just terrible things. And because God said to Satan, no, you can't change Job. He's still going to praise me and know who I am, no matter what you do with him, but you can't kill him. So Satan did basically everything he could, short of killing him. And Job said this in Job 1:21. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. May the name of the Lord be praised. I like the other part where he talks and he says, though he slay me, yet will I believe in him, yet will I trust him. Doesn't matter if I die, God is still God, and he's still good, and he's still who he is. Wow. So we see that in Job. How about Paul, the apostle, said in Philippians 4, 6, and 7, do not be anxious about anything. That's a tough one for me. I've shared with you at times, you know, the times that I struggle with anxiety that doesn't make sense. Now understand, especially if you're younger, a teenager, and below, there's some anxiety that you should have. Life is not anxiety-free. When you are being approached by a grizzly bear, you should be a little fearful, a little nervous about what's going on there. It's an appropriate feeling. If you've got your final exam tomorrow and you like need that grade of this to pass and you're studied up and you're a little nervous, that's totally appropriate. Okay? Totally appropriate. We don't have an anxiety or a nervous-free life. So when this talks about don't be anxious about anything, it's talking about those things that we look and we have perspective to be able to look and say, this test, I'm nervous about it, but I don't need to be. I don't need to be nervous about it because God, in his whole perspective, is bigger than this. Now, I am not telling you don't study, okay, London? Don't tell your dad, I don't have to study because Scott said, you know, the Bible says don't be anxious about anything, so I'm not going to be anxious about this test, so I'm just going to work out. No, not what I'm saying. I'm saying you have that nervousness, you turn it over and you say to God, God, this is yours, and I want to release this, and so that it's not disabling me. It's not disabling me. Don't be anxious about anything, but in every situation, by prayer and petition, meaning asking, by prayer and petition, with thanksgiving, present your requests to God. So you'd be on that test. You know, Ella would be looking at her test and going, oh, I'm really nervous. I don't know what to do about this. And what does the Bible say? It says here, right here, by prayer. Okay, first thing, God, I am way nervous about this. I am stressing about this. I am anxious about this. So God, you know the way I am. So God, this is the reality of what I'm in right now. So by prayer and then petition and thanksgiving, making your request known. God, help me to be more calm. Help me to be prepared. Help me to study clearly, because right now my nerves are making me so I can't even focus on this. And then the thanksgiving part, well, how do we approach that with thanksgiving? My mother would say, be thankful that you're nervous about your test because it means you live in a place where you're getting an education and have the opportunity to study. See, my mom was wise. She had some wisdom there. Some of it was funny, but a lot of it in finding the silver lining is absolutely true. We have to go that extra step to give the thanksgiving to present our requests to God. So, when Jesus, during the Last Supper, knowing what was ahead, what did he do? He gave thanks. He knew what was ahead. And the Bible says in Luke 22:19, he took bread, gave thanks and broke it. He's facing death. He knows he's facing death. He knows what's ahead. He knows the torture that is ahead. And still, he thanks with thanksgiving, frames it in God. You are God, you are in control, and I thank you. I thank you. Okay, so how can we be thankful every day? Oh, I went backwards. You already saw that one.
What does it have to do with thank?
Wait, I had my clicker upside down. Now I really have it upside down. What's going on? Lord, I'm anxious because I'm lost. All right, I can't get anywhere. All right. Get past that. Good. One more. There we go. All right. So, the first thing, how do we face these times that are tough? Number one, trust God's plan. Know that God's got your back. See, when Katie was up here and she was talking, she was sharing with us the reality that God, according to Scripture, God is for you. So much of our planet thinks that God has it out for them. They're like, oh, God is putting me through this. God, I don't know why God hates me. I lost my job, man. God just is pounding me with this. He's pounding me with that. That is not the message of Scripture. The message of Scripture is that God is for you, that God loves you so much that he poured himself into his son in human form to die for you, to be sacrificed for you, to pay that price. God is for you. God has your back. God has your back. How do I know? Look up Jeremiah 29:11. And it's important that we know that in context, this is not a guarantee that everything that you want is going to work out. I've heard it used so many times out of context, okay? This is a promise from God to say that God has his plans, all right? When we look, Jeremiah 29:11, "For I know the plans I have for you," Katie said. Oh, I thought I was getting the second thing. But God was saying, no, I know the plans I have for you. So many times I'll be like looking and going, when something's going wrong, I'll be like, this is not what I planned. And I have to pause and look and say, wait, does God have a different plan right now for this? We've gone since I was 23 and started in youth ministry, taking groups, different parts of the world, all over the country, on these things called mission trips. And what we learn on mission trips is our plans are just wonderful, wonderful things that rarely happen. And we'll tell people that in training. They'll be like, I like to know, even the personality type of, I like to know what's happening. Boom, 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 boom. And I'll go, we're in Mexico. So yes, here's your piece of paper. Crumple it up and throw it away. Okay? Because we'll look and we'll say, uh-oh, this is not my plan. Why is this happening right now? And then sometimes we'll look around and go, oh, after we'll see. Oh, we made this connection with this person. Or, oh, we weren't supposed to be there yet. Or, oh, this thing that happened was better than what we planned. So God says, "For I know the plans I have for you, declares the Lord. Plans to prosper you and not to harm you." God is for you. Plans to give you a hope and a future. Now, put the brakes on. When we use this verse to say, I want that 3,200 square foot house, and I'm claiming this promise. No. Remember the first part? Trust God's plan? I know the plan I have for you. We should be praying instead, Lord, direct me to where you would best have me where I can serve you the best. And oftentimes we'll do our plans. I've heard kids be like, yeah, I know I'm going to make the lacrosse team because God says, I'm for you. I have plans for you. I said, wait a minute. Okay. But God is for you. Romans 8:18. Somebody look it up and read it. Then somebody else look up Romans 8:28. Somebody look up Romans 8:18. This is the interactive part of our day. Romans 8:18 and then Romans 8:28. All the phones come out. I'm surprised I didn't hear you all say, "Okay, Google." I won't. I consider that our present sufferings aren't even worth bringing up in comparison to the good that God is bringing. This is a season. Last week, we had Tom and Heidi share their seasons. They went through a season where both of them were like, "What? My life is not what I wanted. This is not my play. I don't know." And sometimes life falls apart and things happen and jobs are lost and houses burn down and people crash in cars and we look and life happens and we say, that's not our plan. But God says even the sufferings of right now aren't even worth what I have for you in your future. Aren't even worth what's coming. The hope of heaven, the hope of what is ahead. I'll say to teenagers after they break up and are devastated that this is it, you know, and the number of kids that will attempt to take their own life because they're so, I'll say, guys, so much good ahead. There's so much. You might be going through 5 years of difficulty. 5 years, and we look and we go, that's forever. But in terms of eternity, it's nothing. And then later on, you look back at those 5 years and you say, 5 years? Meh. That was a tough time. But we made it through, and God is good. All right? So when we see that and we understand that the sufferings of right now, you know, let's not live in those sufferings. Right? We need to be in them, admit that they are what they are, sit with what they are, know that it's okay to say, this sucks. Looking around for little kids that would say, "Mommy, Pastor Scott said." That's the word, that it's terrible. It's okay for us to sit with that and know that right now this is terrible. Okay? But in the future, God has his plans for me. What's Romans 8:28 say? Chris has it. And we know, for those that love God, we know that all things work together for good. So, Scott, life is going to, because it's a fallen world, you're going to need a new liver. You're going to spend 2 years of your life out of commission. You're going to suffer pain that is incredible pain, but I am there with you, giving you strength and peace through it. And, Scott, you don't know the plans I have for you yet. But I know that all things work together for good. All things work together for good. See, God knew at that moment when I was going through all that, he knew that I was going to be in this team of people that I love with everything, that are an incredible blessing to me, that are my friends, and that I'll be in this place called Westbrook, and my wife and I will be having, we've got 5 grandkids. He knew all that. But during that hardest time, I just was like, I can't take this. I can't take this. But he worked it all together for good. All right? The next thing, find the good. We've already kind of talked about that. We've talked about that, James 1:17. Every good and perfect gift is from above. My morning routine, I told you, you know, the first part, hopefully with a coffee cup underneath the Keurig. But then I go and I sit in my recliner, and it's just quiet. I don't turn anything on. There's no TV, there's no music playing, there's nothing on. Just me and my little 12-pound dog sitting in my recliner, and I just kind of process my thankfulness for today. I process that my purpose of God, today is yours, whatever comes. God, today might I be able to represent you to someone. God, would you bring somebody across my path today that I could have a conversation with? That would be awesome. I'd love that, God. And I just kind of sit there, breathe, put my mind into a thankful state, and go, okay, I'm ready. Now, I don't know what your routine is. This is what your grandma had, our daily bread. We still have them. They have cooler covers that are for younger people and the exact same contents. So if you'd like to use one and take one, they are wonderful quick reading for the day. If you must, it's okay to take that first couple of pages and rip it off so that nobody sees Grandma's daily bread on your table, because that's so old-fashioned. You could even do what we used to do in eighth grade when we were supposed to be reading a book and we were passing around a different book with a social studies book cover on it. And we were like, oh, look at that. Passing it around. Teacher thought we were so enthralled with whatever it was, history. Or, yeah, you can put a fake cover. But anyway, it's good. It's a good kind of thought for the day. You can subscribe to them online or grab one. But to have some type of morning routine to find the good. And be a big picture person. Be a big picture person. Know that today, though as hard as it can be, it's just today. Tomorrow has enough worries of its own, you know. So today is today. We'll sit with today. We'll be present today. Know whatever is we're facing, that God will face it with us and give us strength. But the big picture is so much bigger than this. That's what we see when it says in Romans 8:28. We know God is for us. We know he'll work it together for good. I like when John 11:41-42, Jesus with Lazarus. So they rolled the stone aside. Then Jesus looked up to heaven and said, Father, thank you for hearing me. You always hear me, but I said it out loud for the sake of all these people standing here, so they believe you sent me. Well, look and see Jesus giving thanks and saying it out loud. Sometimes it helps me to say it out loud. Tell people what you're thankful for. When your mom or somebody does that, let's go around and say what we're thankful for. Come on, give it a shot. You know, it's okay. You can do it. You'll survive. And lastly, be a helper. Be a helper. Acts 20:35. I wrote the wrong thing up there. Acts 8:20. There it is. Be a helper. Found it. All right, Acts 20:35, familiar one. It's more blessed to give than to receive. When we shift our focus onto others, it changes our attitude. I had a few different people last night at our dinner, and it was packed, and where I'm at the front doing the ticket things and all of that, and okay, we've got a table for six, come down and doing all that. And it was kind of frantic, because if you haven't called people's number, they let you know. They let you know. I didn't have one of those front of house computer systems or anything. And Robin and Leslie are jumping back forth upstairs, downstairs, bringing the to-go food upstairs, because in past meals, all the to-go people go and stand around the the kitchen and clog it up. So it was like chaos. It was chaos. But shifting that focus and knowing this is so good. I had people say last night, you know, I really don't need a meal. I don't need a meal. But thank you so much for what you do. Thank you so much for all you do here. I said, hey, you know what? We all eat. You know, we all need a meal. But the fact that you come, even if you're not in a place where you're homeless, it removes the stigma. It shows people that we're all together. And my friend around the corner, Vic, came up, and he and his family came, and he said to me, you know what I loved about this? It was such a mix of people. You had young, you had old, you had people in different stations of life, different. He said, I just loved the conversation. You know what that did for me? It, like the Grinch, it made my heart grow two sizes too big. You feel different when you take yourself out of that front and foremost picture and put somebody else there. It just kind of keeps your heart pumping. So while the music team comes to close us, I want to challenge you today to choose to trust God that He has your back. Choose it in the morning. Find the good even during the tough situation. Be thankful that your power went out because it means you have power. Right? It's like, well, we do have electricity in my city, so it's out right now, but thank God for that. When you're trying to watch the big fight and Netflix is buffering, you say, oh, but thank God we have internet. All right? Find the good. Be a big picture person. Be a helper. Think, I will make someone's day better. This song that they're going to close with, one of the verses says, come on my soul, oh don't you get shy on me. Lift up your song, because you've got a lion inside of those lungs. Get up and praise the Lord. I love that. I love that, how it's reminding us as we sing even. Praise God with thanks. Have a great week, guys. Next week, come ready to share what you're thankful for. No, I'm not going to make everybody share, but we are going to pass the mic around and give people the opportunity to share something briefly that they want to praise God about. It's going to be a little different. So, see you next week. Have a wonderful week. Don't be shy. Lift up those praises.